You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Opening day of the NBA season is here. Can I get an amen? Yes, Lord, we have made it through a long, tedious, up and down offseason. It's been a summer to remember, but let's get to what we all know and love. Regular season NBA basketball. We have to wait 24 more hours or so until the tip-off of the Sacramento Kings season, but at least we get some real meaningful NBA basketball tonight as the Philadelphia 76ers will battle the Boston Celtics, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder will take on the Golden State Warriors on ring night in Oracle Arena. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to branch into the Locked On NBA podcast a little bit here today because I'm going to be sharing for you my predictions for pretty much everything this season that you can predict, my entire Western Conference standings. My entire Eastern Conference standings. I'm going to predict the MVP, the Rookie of the Year, the Coach of the Year, the Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, and the Sixth Man of the Year. We're going to be doing all of that today as we gear up and get ready for the start of this 2018-2019 NBA season. I could not be more excited. Could you tell? My name is Matt George, by the way. For those of you who are new, I work at Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and a reporter. Before I dive into my predictions and we run through all of these, and by the way, this is open book for everybody. So if you want to share your predictions with me, how you think the conferences are going to go, predicting all the end of the season awards, you absolutely can, and I encourage you to do so. Please email them to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com, or you can tweet me at MattGeorgeKHTK as well. So before we dive in, though, I have to have something Kings-related, seeing as how this is the Locked On Kings podcast, and I thought, why not play the audio for you from De'Aaron Fox's letter to Kings fans that was published on the Players' Tribune this morning. If you have already heard this, you get to hear it again, and you're going to want to hear it again because it's an excellent message, and what a great thing to say for De'Aaron Fox. We already knew he was a fan favorite here in Sacramento, and he just doubled, tripled down, and quadrupled down on that with what he released here today. If you haven't heard this, listen to every word. You might want to listen to it twice because he says a lot of great things about this city of Sacramento. Just a good promo and a good fire you up for the start of this season. So without further ado, here is De'Aaron Fox's letter to Sacramento Kings fans via the Players' Tribune.
I heard a joke that went like this. The best part about Sacramento is you're only 2 hours away from the good parts of California. Nah, let me flip that. The good thing about California is you're only a couple hours away from the best fan base in the league. What's up, Sacramento? Entering my second year. I've lived here for a year now. And over the summer, I got to thinking. And I wrote a few things down. I didn't know much about Sacramento before I got there. It might be what you think right now, farm town, quiet, nothing to do. Then I got here. I played here. I lived here. Then I started hearing a different story. They were going to sell the team back in 2011. It was looking like the end for the Kings in Sacramento. They were even looking at different cities. Seattle, Anaheim. Yo, Anaheim? Then something crazy happened. The people of Sacramento straight up came together and said, nah, fuck that. Not without a fight. Fans packed the city council meeting. Over 11,000 people pledged to buy season tickets. They just made noise. They stood up. And yo, they saved the team. They saved the Kings. If I've learned one thing from being here, maybe it's not surprising to get overlooked or even disrespected, but we don't tolerate it. Sacramento, you don't ask for a lot, just that we're all in, like you are. I don't want to make any promises I can't keep, but I'll promise this. You fought for us, for this team, this franchise, this city, and that's why we'll fight for you.
All I can say is, well done, De'Aaron Fox. Well done. It is prediction time. Let me get my crystal ball and dim the lights in here as I'm going to be doing my best to guess and predict how this regular season is going to go for not just the Sacramento Kings, but for all of the NBA. And again, I want you to play along with me. You can email me. We're going to be going through the full Western and Eastern Conference standings, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, and Sixth Man of the Year. So send them all to me right now, or you can send them at the end of the episode. Also, let me know if you agree or disagree with my list. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. Now, we're going to start at the bottom and work our way up to the top. At the very bottom, in the cellar of the East, it's going to be the Charlotte Hornets. I have never been high on this team. I think they've been trending down over the last couple of years. I feel bad for Kemba Walker, which is why I believe that the Charlotte Hornets are going to be using Kemba Walker as trade bait during this season, probably close to the trade deadline to try and start a rebuild and acquire some draft picks. It's just not working there with Kemba. So I expect them to be trading Kemba away and then probably not necessarily intentionally tanking, but they're going to be losing a lot towards the end of the season. So I put them all the way at the bottom of the East in 15th and 14th, just a step above them, the Atlanta Hawks. Now they're starting their rebuild and they do have Trae Young. I'm not the highest on Trae Young, as high as a lot of others are, but it should be fun to see if he's able to bring that quick scoring ability and that shoot from anywhere on the floor style and be successful with it in the NBA, at least right out of the gate. It is going to be Trae Young's team there, which is both a good and bad thing in Atlanta. I think they're going to get off to a slow start, maybe start to figure things out towards the end of the season, but I don't see them finishing any better than 14th. They might be just behind, though, the team in 13th, which is the Orlando Magic. They did bring Aaron Gordon back, which is good, but other than that, they really have nothing too good to show for there. Mo Bamba is there as well, so we'll see how he if he proves effective for Orlando as their future piece going forward, but we also know he's a bit of a developmental project. So the Orlando Magic, in my opinion, are going to be finishing 13th. 12th is the New York Knicks, and this all depends on if Kristaps Porzingis is healthy. We know he's not going to be there for the start of the season. If he plays the majority of the second half of the season, I can see them finishing higher than 12th. They're not going to make the playoffs. But Kristaps Porzingis is a unique talent. The New York Knicks could be one summer away from turning things around. I believe that this season, though, they are going to finish below their other neighbor team there in New York City. Brooklyn Nets are going to be finishing 11th, and I like what they're bringing and building. I like the pieces that they're putting together. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to surprise some people this year with the amount of games that they do win and how comfortably they win some games. They're on the right track, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference that we know has gotten a lot weaker now that LeBron James is no longer there. Just above them in 10th place, the Chicago Bulls are going to be trying to figure things out. They have some injury concerns with both Jabari Parker and, of course, Zach LaVine that the Kings tried to snatch away from them. I also expect a good year from Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. It should be interesting how he fits into the scheme of things there. Chris Dunn as well is going to be hopefully trying to build on what was a nice bounce back year for him last year. So I like the Chicago Bulls to finish close to on the cusp, just below the Cleveland Cavaliers, who will be the bubble team in the Eastern Conference. Kevin Love's team going forward, and I like Kevin Love. But he needs more help than what he has there in Cleveland to break the threshold and to get into the eighth seed, which is currently going to be held by the Miami Heat. Now, I expect them to be a team that is active around the trade deadline and trying to acquire talent. I'm surprised that they haven't gone harder after Jimmy Butler, although we know that the Minnesota Timberwolves' asking price is pretty high. As it stands right now, though, I think the Miami Heat are an eighth seed, just below in the seventh spot. The Detroit Pistons, with Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and the squad that they have there in Detroit, I have to believe they're going to be making the playoffs this year, and they're going to be better than what they showed last year. If not, Blake Griffin is probably getting traded with that massive contract that he has, although who is going to want to take that contract? That is another question. I have the Detroit Pistons finishing in seventh. In sixth, the Indiana Pacers. Now, they had a great bounce-back year last year from Victor Oladipo. I'm also a big fan of Darren Collison. For those of you who have followed me for a while, you know that Darren Collison was one of my guys here when he was here in Sacramento. I like him there in Indiana. I just don't think they have enough to finish higher in the Eastern Conference because of the teams ahead of them. Directly ahead of them is the Washington Wizards. Now, I have them dropping a little bit this year because of the other talent in the East, but still a very capable team. Above them, the Philadelphia 76ers. They are in fourth seed because you'll be surprised who I have one above them, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But the Philadelphia 76ers, a lot of this season relies on if they're able to stay healthy with both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Also, is Markelle Fultz ready to take another step forward, or is he going to be kind of the ho-hum role player young guy that we saw last year? If he remains the same, I see them even dropping to fifth or sixth. If he shows a little bit of growth, I'm confident that they're in that four spot. If he shows a lot of growth, they may be able to work their way into the top three. My number three seed is the Milwaukee Bucks, and I know this is going to surprise a lot of people. I think this is going to be a massive year for Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is his conference now that LeBron James is gone. I like the fact that they have Bledsoe there. I really like the team that Milwaukee has put together. They haven't really been able to put together a full season, though, of success. I think this is the year they finally break that threshold and finish in the third seed. The second seed is going to be the Toronto Raptors. They took a gamble with Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi can stay completely healthy, which it sounds like he's going to be able to, then they will finish in the second seed just below. No surprise here. The Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens and that squad is not going anywhere. I don't think it's going to be a close race here. I think Boston's going to have a pretty comfortable lead over Toronto, and they are going to be the team with their eyes on the Golden State Warriors in the West. Speaking of the Western Conference, let's jump ship over to them, and we'll start at the bottom, beginning with the Memphis Grizzlies. They have a lot of older veterans on this team. I think this is going to be a passing of the torch type year as the veterans like Marc Gasol and Mike Conley give playing time and possession and responsibility over to the young gang. Jaren Jackson Jr. showed a lot of promise in summer league and in preseason, but how good will he really be for this squad this year? A major question mark there. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to end up having their age catch up to them, and they are going to finish in the cellar in the Western Conference. Just above them, the Phoenix Suns. I like DeAndre Ayton. I like that pickup. I think they're going to get off to a really slow start due to the fact that they do not have Devin Booker. And then once Devin Booker does come back, there's going to be a feeling out process between how Booker and DeAndre Ayton play together. Towards the end of the season, I think this team is going to be a lot better than what they show at the beginning of the year. But they are going to finish second to last and 14th in the Western Conference, just a step under the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, I think this is going to be a bad year for the Clippers. The Clippers expect to be on the cusp, potentially trying for that eighth seed. They do have a very game Lou Williams there, but a lot of expiring contracts. I'm not too high on Doc Rivers. I think he's been trending down for the last couple of seasons, especially ever since they lost Chris Paul. And I think this team's going to be in one of those active teams in the Western Conference trying to sell at the trade deadline. So the Los Angeles Clippers, in my opinion, are finishing in 13th. Then above them, the Sacramento Kings in 12th. We knew they weren't going to make the playoffs, but I think they're not going to be in the cellar in the Western Conference. So they're going to have three teams above them. Sacramento is going to turn in the kind of season that I am hoping for, which is maybe around the 30-win mark, hopefully up to 33 to match what they won with DeMarcus Cousins. But with how talented the Western Conference is, that's not going to be even close to enough to sneak you in to the eighth seed. The Kings are going to show that they can be a run-and-gun team. De'Aaron Fox is going to show that he can be a leader. They're going to have a couple of guys, or at least one guy, in the Rookie of the Year conversation, and there is going to be hope heading into next offseason that the Kings can add a piece or two and maybe make a run at the eighth seed in 2019-2020. Above them, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're going to miss the playoffs again because of all the chaos and craziness that's going on there. Tom Thibodeau's not making it through this year as his players are going to turn on him. Disaster in Minnesota, and it's going to be a year of what could have been as they drop out of the playoffs all the way to 11th. In 10th, the Dallas Mavericks, led by their new core of Dennis Smith Jr., Luka Doncic, Harrison Barnes, and DeAndre Jordan, they're going to miss the playoffs too, finishing just two spots out as there are teams ahead of them just with how talented this Western Conference is. It's going to take a little while for the Mavericks to learn how to play together. They're going to fall too far behind and not be able to catch up in the second half of the season. Finishing in 9th, right on the bubble, it's the New Orleans Pelicans. Anthony Davis is the leader on that roster, but they lost both Rajon Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins. They're going to be trying to figure out how to plug that hole, and they did a good job with that in the second half of last season, but I don't think they're going to be able to carry that out through a full year with the Western Conference as talented as that is. So they are the bubble team in eighth, sneaking into the playoffs. Mike Malone's Denver Nuggets. I love the addition of Isaiah Thomas there. I think Denver is going to be very, very good this year, although not good enough to get higher than the eighth seed. I'm looking for them to finish just a step above 500 and really look like a team that's going to be making strides and pushes forward come next season. A step above them, the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, something just seems off with this team constantly, but with a backcourt of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they have to be better than what they are, and I expect that they will be. They will get back to the winning ways this year. I also like the supporting cast that they've brought alongside them, have a couple really good young big men there. So I like what the Portland Trail Blazers are doing, and I think they'll be able to continue to trend in the right direction. The Oklahoma City Thunder will finish in sixth place. Paul George and Russell Westbrook have gotten rid of the dead weight that is Carmelo Anthony, but still, there are a lot of talented teams ahead of them. Russell Westbrook is not going to be playing tonight against the Golden State Warriors, as he is still dealing with an injury that'll keep him sidelined for the first few games of the regular season. At least that's what is reported and expected. OKC going to finish in sixth. Right above them, the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James. LeBron is there. They are going to be good, but they're still young. They have a lot of things to figure out, and I don't quite like the veteran supporting cast that the Lakers and Magic Johnson brought in to support LeBron. I think Brandon Ingram's going to have a great blowout year as well, and we'll see if Kyle Kuzma can continue to build upon the momentum that he showed in his rookie season. But the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be finishing in fifth. Just above them in fourth place, the Utah Jazz. Now, this is my rooting interest team for this year. We know the Utah Jazz are going to be here in Sacramento to open up the season tomorrow night, so it'll be fun to watch them. I really, really like what Utah is doing. I love Rudy Gobert. I love Donovan Mitchell. But there are just three teams ahead of them that I don't think they're going to be able to top. One of them is going to be very surprising. I've already received a lot of heat for it as I've posted this to social media. But that is not the third place team. The third place team is the Houston Rockets. When you add Carmelo Anthony, you get worse. In my opinion, Carmelo Anthony makes teams worse, not better. It'll be interesting to see if he fully commits to coming off of the bench for this team and if there's any drama with that. Also, they lost Trevor Ariza, and their defense is now going to be really called into question. The pieces that they had to help them defensively last year, a couple of them have left, gone, have not been re-signed. It's good that they did manage to bring back Clint Capella, and also a lot of the season depends on if Chris Paul can stay healthy, and it's sad that we have to ask him to prove that to us, but we have to ask him to prove that to us every single year because he has not been able to stay healthy so far. They are my third place team. Now, the second place team is going to really surprise you. It surprised a lot of people, but I'm willing to defend it. The San Antonio Spurs. Every single year, we doubt the Spurs. And every year, they seem to show us fight and surprise us. I refuse to be surprised this year. I'm gonna bet high so that I can be, I suppose, pleasantly disappointed if they do not make it up to my standards. People forget that yes, they had Kawhi Leonard last year, but he didn't play at all, and they still made the playoffs. So yes, technically this offseason they lost Kawhi Leonard. But in reality, from last year's team to this year's team, all they've done is added a top player in DeMar DeRozan. Now, they have been dealing with some injuries that are really going to hurt them this season, but I really like the pairing of LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. I like Patty Mills as well as a probably everyday point guard now, somebody who's going to be getting a lot of time now that Tony Parker is not there, which is weird, by the way, of him being in Charlotte. They don't have Manu Ginobili anymore, but they do still have Pau Gasol. I like what San Antonio has done. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people and finish in the second seed, although I give them little to no chance of making too much noise in the playoffs. Why? Because the Golden State Warriors are still in the Western Conference. Yes, they are the number one seed. DeMarcus Cousins is not going to play for the first half of the season. They'll still be dominant. He'll come back. They'll be even more dominant. They're going to win another championship once again. DeMarcus Cousins is going to get paid this offseason by some other team, and everybody's going to live happily ever after, except for the other, 29 teams in the NBA. The Golden State Warriors are the only thing that can stop them, other than injuries, is themselves. And if they implode from the inside, I don't think that's going to happen. They've been through too much, and also Steve Kerr is too damn good of a head coach at managing egos and personalities to allow that to happen. This is the Golden State Warriors' year once again. The only hope of dethroning the Golden State Warriors is the Boston Celtics. Sorry, Houston Rockets. You tried last year. You got worse defensively. You're not going to be able to do it this year. That is my opinion. Now, to the end of the season awards. Let's start with the Sixth Man of the Year award, and I'm going to be giving that to Terry Rozier with the Boston Celtics. Now that Kyrie Irving is back, assuming he stays healthy all season long, I think Terry Rozier is going to be an excellent piece for them off the bench. We already saw how dominant he can be and how great of a scorer and how gifted he is last year with Boston. So I think Terry Rozier is going to be the man for the Boston Celtics, and they have draft picks as well. That Boston team is a juggernaut going forward. Also, it's going to be so great to see Rudy Gobert back. Coach of the Year, speaking with the Boston Celtics, is going to be Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, in my opinion, is the best coach in the NBA today, followed closely by both Steve Kerr and Eric Spoelstra. Now, people roll their eyes when I say Steve Kerr because they don't believe that he has to do too much actual coaching. But I've said it before, a lot of being a successful coach in the NBA now has to do with managing personalities, and I don't think there's anybody else in the NBA that does that better than Steve Kerr. Brad Stevens, though, may give him a run for his money, and Brad Stevens is also a genius X's and O's coach. I love Brad Stevens. It's finally time for him to get the recognition that he deserves and win Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. Until you knock him off his pedestal, he's going to stay right there, and that's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is a beast on the inside. He should be winning the Defensive Player of the Year award. Most Improved Player, you've heard me talk about this a lot on the Locked On Kings podcast, so it would be silly for me not to go with it. I'm putting Buddy Hield. I'm throwing Buddy Hield's name in that hat. I think if he's done enough to add his own ability to create his own shot, and if he is truly looked to by the Kings as a go-to scorer, then I think Buddy Hield is going to be turning some heads this year and will win the Most Improved Player of the award. He also might be in the running for the Sixth Man award, assuming that Dave Yeager continues to bring him off of the bench. My Rookie of the Year, and this is going to sting for some people, but I don't care. Luka Doncic is going to win Rookie of the Year. He seems to be the most NBA-ready rookie, the only two that I can really see him giving getting a run for their money against him is going to be DeAndre Ayton, and that all depends on how the Phoenix Suns do, and Jaren Jackson Jr. with Memphis. Yes, I expect Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley to be in the conversation for a little bit, but I think that's Luka Doncic's award to win, barring injury. And finally, my MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is his time now in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is LeBron-less, and I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be the first one to step in and make his presence felt immediately. I'm expecting a massive year for the Greek Freak, and he is going to be a major reason why Milwaukee finishes third in the Eastern Conference. So that is my full list, the standings for both the West and the East, and all of my awards. If you agree with me or disagree with me, let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can email me your predictions as well, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That is going to do it for another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Tomorrow, we get to preview opening night, the Kings and the Utah Jazz inside the Golden 1 Center that is going to be jam-packed with thousands of happy, excited, fired-up Kings fans. I cannot wait to see each and every single one of you out there rooting on the team, or if you're doing it at home, you're just as meaningful and just as useful. Just be sure to scream at your TV and make your presence felt. I cannot wait to tip off another season of Kings basketball. Hell, I'm excited just to watch these two games that are on tap tonight. You can follow along the games with me and tweet with me tonight as we watch these games go down at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. Feel free to keep sending the emails as well. I love them, and I look forward to chatting with you all season long. We can chat also at the Golden 1 Center. If you're ever at a game, let me know, and I will do everything I can to come and meet you and shake your hand in person, and thank you for listening to this podcast. You guys mean the world to me. Thank you so much for listening to me each and every single day. Let's tip off a Kings season tomorrow, shall we? Enjoy the two games tonight. The NBA is back. Let's celebrate right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.